around the clock. And breaking news now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore and WCBM.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Steve Knight. After yet another night of protests in Ferguson, Missouri.
Very little tension on the streets tonight.
Missouri Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson. The number of arrests has been dropping for the past few nights.
And tonight, it is zero.
Black teenager Michael Brown, who was unarmed, was fatally shot by a white police officer 2 weeks ago today, setting off spasms of violence. Later today.
We're expecting to get a rare public appearance from supporters of Officer Darren Wilson. They've got a rally planned at a sports bar in South St. Louis. Now, on the other side of the coin, we're expecting to get a very public appearance from the parents of Mike Brown, along with the parents of Trayvon Martin. That's going to happen Sunday at a music festival.
Fox's Mike Tobin. The Obama administration is hinting that American airstrikes in Syria might be used to stop Islamic State jihadists who publicly executed journalist James Foley.
ISIS issued a not-so-veiled threat, this time via Twitter. Quote, we will deliver the next message with a new American victim as a courier mail. The Foley family, meanwhile, decided to release the last email sent to them by their son's ISIS captors. Quote, you and your citizens will pay the price of your bombings, the first of which being the blood of the American citizen James Foley. He will be executed as a direct result of your transgressions towards us.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin. The U.S. says Russia sending a convoy of 130 trucks into Ukraine is a dangerous provocation. Ukraine calls it an invasion. Russia claims the trucks carried humanitarian supplies. Hamas shot to death 18 alleged spies for Israel.
These executions come after senior Hamas military commanders, three of them, were killed by Israel and another was targeted in the past few days or so.
Fox's Connor Powell from Jerusalem. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu vows Hamas will pay a heavy price after a mortar shell killed a four-year-old boy. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
This goes out to all the constituents who spent the last 2 years rallying to bring back Burger King chicken fries. To at Kelsey Jones 1, who implored, is this a sick, twisted joke? Bring back those chicken fries. And to at Han Rich, who posted, how dare you? Hashtag devastated. And to at Lori Zeladon, who wrote, I am going out of my freaking mind without hashtag chicken fries. We thank all of you for your unwavering support. Because of you, chicken fries are finally back at Burger King. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ready to make some money?
I'm going to go behind the headline to give you the real, real deal. The concept of the show? To get people to believe in investing again.
Make today the day.
I've seen it all on Wall Street the last 25 years owning my own firm. I know exactly where investors are making mistakes. I'm going to help you connect the dots, making your ideas pay off. Because ultimately, I want you to make a whole lot of money and live the American dream.
Watch Making Money with Charles Payne, weeknights on the Fox Business Network.
The World Health Organization is worried about what it calls an invisible caseload of Ebola patients. So far, more than 1,300 people have died from the virus.
The director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention heads to West Africa over the weekend as part of his agency's efforts to stop the worst Ebola outbreak in history. But Dr. Tom Frieden says the CDC can't do it alone.
So this is very difficult. It requires a global response. And I want to go there to see how can we make it happen better and faster, understanding that this is going to be a long, hard fight.
Dr. Frieden says Ebola-affected regions need a surge in treatment centers right now. But long term, he says the region needs stronger public health systems to detect and control emerging disease threats. In Atlanta, Jonathan Seri, Fox News Radio.
Texas Governor Rick Perry says he was unprepared for and humbled by his first run for president in 2012, and he'll work harder if there's a next time around. In New Hampshire, he also said he hasn't decided about running next year. A star couple sojourn passes government review.
Stating that the power couple, Beyonce and Jay-Z, did not violate sanctions, the U.S. Treasury Department's Inspector General determined their fifth anniversary trip to Cuba last year was legal. The music superstars angered two Cuban-American Republican politicians with their four-day visit. The longstanding U.S. trade embargo against Cuba prevents most Americans from traveling to the island without a license granted by the government, unless it has academic, religious, journalistic, or cultural exchange value, which the Inspector General's office said they had. While there, the couple visited an art school and a local theater group. Michelle Polino, Fox News Radio.
Costa Rica says it will investigate undercover American programs that operated from Costa Rica using citizens from that country to try to destabilize the government in Cuba. I'm Steve Knight, Fox News Radio.
We'll be in good shape after we scour the clouds and the shower threat out today. Today, probably the worst of the weekend days. But for the most part, it doesn't look like it's going to be a washout. Got an east-northeasterly flow. Clouds are in. 76 degrees, about in that range as we get into the afternoon hours, with a few showers around. Tonight will fall to 62. We'll start breaking up the cloud party. And then on Sunday, gorgeous sunshine. Certainly the better day of the weekend. 80, more sunshine and low 80s Monday. I'm Ray Stidjik from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This Monday at 6, find out about the government stopping hospitals from having to disclose many serious medical errors. Hear about this issue on 1-800-LAW-CALL from the attorneys of Shakur, Federico, and Staten. Or call 1-800-LAW-CALL-NOW to speak in private.
Set your alarm clock to AM 680 WCBM.
Tune your first car radio button to AM 680.
Listen at work on WCBM.com.
Listen all day and all night
to Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM. But they should be.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about, well, what do we talk about? Fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. That covers a pretty broad spectrum. So, to begin our conversation today, let me just say that for the first hour, you folks are going to be in control. So I have given you assignment. Simply pick up your telephone, whether that's a mobile device or landline, and press in the following numbers, 410-922-6680. Now, it's easy to remember because you're listening to WCBM 680. So if you have trouble with the numbers and you like to look at the letters, you can press in 410-WCBM-680. See how that works out? If you're dialing from outside the local Baltimore area, and it's a toll charge for you to call this area, well, and you're in Maryland, simply call 800-WCBM-680, 800-922-6680, and that's how you get access to the radio show, and you get to express your views, bring up an issue, make a comment, whatever you'd like to do. But we'd like to hear from you this morning, whether it's fishing, hunting season right around the corner. You know, next Monday is Labor Day, September 1. It is also the final day of the Maryland Fishing Challenge for 2014. The following day kicks off the 2015 Maryland Fishing Challenge. And then the 7th is the grand finale at Sandy Point State Park. So later in the show, around the 6 o'clock hour, we'll have Joe Evans here to talk about the Maryland Fishing Challenge, the run-up to the end here, the final week, where we are in the contest, who's got what, how many Diamond Jim fish have been caught this year, and, you know. So, as far as hunting is concerned, September 1st also heralds in the first day of the Maryland hunting season for resident Canada geese, which means the geese that live here all year long and breed on our ponds and waterways and farms and reservoirs. Those geese are now in season on September 1st. And also the opening day of the Maryland dove season, which opens there at noon. So, the following Friday, the 5th of September, is the opening of the Maryland deer archery season. And so, that is the upcoming schedule. Now, yesterday was in St. Mary's County. There's a outdoor show there called the Country Life Outdoors. Excuse me. Festival. The Country Life Outdoors Festival. I haven't had any coffee yet. And, pretty large emphasis on hunting. It used to be another show in another location called Buck Wild. And the Maryland Trophy Deer Contest is there. And I'm seeing some of the deer that I've seen photos of throughout the year and published photos of throughout the years in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazine. So we're meeting some people that we've not met before. We're seeing some folks that we've known for, 25 years. So the Maryland Trophy Deer Contest is there. That is the highlight of the Maryland Trophy Deer Contest, where the awards are given out. There are a number of nonprofit organizations in attendance, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry, Disabled Hunters, Chuck Spohr, who has been on this radio show before, the Ducks Unlimited and, Delta Waterfowl and that type of thing, Maryland Wild Turkey Federation. They're all in attendance. I was there from, 1 o'clock yesterday, set up the booth that we are in and giving away free magazines. We have actually brochures now printed for the Maryland Hunting Coalition, the new group serving to unite hunters. So those brochures are available, being handed out to the public. Today I will be attending the annual Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation event, and that is in White Marsh or over that way. It's at Martin's East, 500 or 600 guys there, and the Maryland State Chapter President, Steve Bird, who's also been on this air from time to time, is graciously allowing me to talk to the assembled group about the Maryland Hunting Coalition, so we'll have some handouts over there for those folks, too. If you're going to that event, we'll see you over there. And then tomorrow back down to St. Mary's County. So we've got a couple meetings coming up next week, and just trying to get ready for hunting season, practicing with the bow. Got Jacob taken care of as far as getting his, as he grows, his bow draw length and poundage and everything else changes. So he's been practicing. And, just kind of getting ready for hunting season and working hard on the Maryland Hunting Coalition. So the website continues to improve on the Maryland Hunting Coalition. We've got more stuff coming up this week, and we invite you to join online if you'd like. It's very simple. Go to mdhuntingcoalition.org and work your way through the website, or just simply email me here on the radio show or on my computer at ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. A number of you have done that, and we haven't sent out a newsletter yet. We haven't sent out a press release. We're kind of walking this through the opening. We have to set up a PayPal account and things like that to help us out. we will eventually, soon, have to pass the hat. We did get a proposal from a lobbyist. We have another one that we know of that's coming in. So we're just building it slowly, getting the word out there to hunters across the state as best we can. And, hopefully the social media sites will go up here in the next few weeks. So it's been tiring. But we welcome your calls. You want to talk about fishing? We'll talk about fishing. We've got some proposals on the table for the upcoming season. They've been published in, I think it's called Tidelines, which is a publication by the Maryland Saltwater Sport Fishermen's Association. There are a number of management options for 2015. According to this document, which is a copy of the page, a photocopy of the page in the Tidelines, the MSSA and the Department of Natural Resources have been working to ensure the striped bass reductions, which is, less of them being taken out of the water, are a reflection of stakeholder input and willingness to conserve for future generations. Below, you'll find some of the options that have been laid out by the DNR. The MSSA held its monthly board meeting on July 1st to discuss these options. Please note the options of the MSSA Board of Directors have voted to support. We'd like to note that the information used to determine some of the options may change in the coming months. If that is the case, MSSA will review the new options in conjunction with DNR and proceed from there. In the meantime, if you have any questions, and then there's some contact information. The spring trophy fishery for next year. Options for reducing harvest all in the first year under 1, 2, and 3 year scenarios. The option, which there are four, with reducing the amount of striped bass taken from the Chesapeake Bay, is the most popular option voted on by the MSSA board, is one fish per day, leaving the seasons the same, which is mid-April, whatever that Saturday is, and a 36 minimum size requirement rather than 28 inches. A 36 minimum size requirement. Remember, when we first opened the striped bass season many moons ago after the moratorium under Governor Schaefer, that initial year or two, the size limit for striped bass in the Maryland trophy season was 36 inches. So we're going back to that. A couple of the other options were one fish a day with a 33-inch minimum size and start on May 1st, which eliminated the first 2 weeks of the season. The first option I shared, one fish a day, 36-inch minimum, would be the percentage of decrease in the number of fish based on the 2013 data would be 26%. So that seemed to be the best option, the highest amount of reduction with the least amount of pain. So there are several summer and fall fishery proposals, options for reducing the harvest. Option number six was voted on by the MSSA board. The creel limit is status quo, which means two fish per day, one, minimum size and one over. The minimum size then would be 20 inches rather than 18, and one fish over 28 inches, the season would remain status quo as it is now with the June 1st summer opener, and a decrease in the amount of fish identified from the 2013 numbers is 24%. And then the Atlantic Coast sport fishery is option 11, one fish per day, 28-inch minimum status quo, which would also reduce the number of fish based on 2013 data by 25%. So there we are. Those are the options. That's the MSSA's take on it. It seems to be reasonable to me, but I'm not a fisheries manager. And I do think so, that these options are agreeable to the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. So, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, if you'd like to comment on what you've heard here so far. We'd love to have you do so. If not, we're going to take our first break and tell you about some of our friends across the state that support this program. And I stopped to see the folks at Chesapeake Outdoors. Actually bought a few arrows from the guys the other day for my grandson. Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Just get ready for bow season. That's what we're doing. A lot of folks in there looking at crossbows, and there's a reason. They carry five different brands of crossbows for you to look at, choose from. There's the Mission crossbow, which is the division of Matthews. There's the new Carbon Express crossbow, Barnett, Parker, and the recurve crossbow Excalibur, all available at Chesapeake Outdoors. As far as compound bows are concerned, they have a couple of brands. They have the Parker and the Matthews Solo Cam brand featuring the Creed XS, the new one from Matthews. Nice bow. Nice bow for somebody who wants, you know, top-of-the-line stuff. Custom arrows, they'll cut them for you. They'll put the inserts in. They got crossbow arrows, bow accessories, everything you need for getting your bow set up for the upcoming season. Of course, firearms and muzzleloaders and fishing supply and crabbing gear as well. And the Bubba Blade knives. Don't forget that. So, they are open every day. You can give them a call, 410-604-2500. Where are they located? Well, right there on Kent Island, Maryland's Eastern Shore. Just as soon as you cross the bridge, start looking for exit number 39B. That's Dominion Road on Route 50 East, and you're looking for Chesapeake Outdoors. You'll actually see the big green sign before you get to the exit. You get off, immediately get off the exit and kind of go around the corner there, and you're in the parking lot of Chesapeake Outdoors. 410-604-2500. Chesapeake Outdoors. It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex spray-on bedliner. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Generation that listens to this show, that's all. Get them up dancing in their slippers and stuff this morning. Going out in the kitchen, getting a cup of coffee, going, yeah, yeah. All right.
Hey, hello. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Are you ready for hunting season? Are you going dove hunting? Are you going goose hunting? Are you going deer hunting? Hello. Gosh, it's early. What are you going to do when hunting season gets here if you can't get up early enough to listen to this show? Huh? Huh? Yeah. All right. This week, political intrigue. And we are on top of this. We are on top of this. Long story short, I've told you before, the Maryland Horse Council is opposed to all Sunday hunting in Maryland. Always has been, probably always will be. Wrote a 5-page letter to the Department of Natural Resources. Accusing them of violating the principles for establishing a new regulation. 5 pages. I've got part of it here. I don't know if I want to read it or not. I'll read one paragraph. What do you think? And this is the kind of language that goes throughout this letter. The Maryland Horse Council is on record on numerous occasions that it is not opposed to hunting and includes sport hunting of white-tailed deer among a number of methods it proposes to control the burgeoning deer population. The Horse Council is equally in favor of having at least one day each weekend free from conflicts with hunters. It's impossible for the council to comment further about the specific proposals, however, because DNR has systematically denied our members access to information and an opportunity to be heard. The only remedy for this failure, or perhaps intentional denial, is to have a hearing where the regulations can be explained and comments taken. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when a law is proposed, there is an abundance of documentation as far as what the law says, what it does. It's all on the Maryland General Assembly website. When the law is changed or amended, there's different things that you can see in a law, words crossed out, words underlined, words put in bold print. And once it's explained to somebody, even an amateur like me, on how to read these laws and how to read what language is changed or amended or taken out or added in or however you want to say that, it's pretty simple to follow that process all the way through. It's easy to follow from committee to committee. And if the Horse Council believes it is as politically astute as it wants to portray itself, it should have had no problem in understanding and commenting on the laws as they were passed. The two laws in question are the two laws that expand Sunday hunting privileges in Western Maryland. They have numbers. They have sponsors. They were debated in committee. They were voted on in the full House and the full Senate. They were passed into law, and they were signed by the governor. For the Horse Council to now come back in August after the session was over in April and say that DNR has systematically denied our members access to information and an opportunity to be heard is a ridiculous statement. The Maryland Horse Council has a representative, an attorney, by the way, on the Wildlife Advisory Commission. So let me just briefly comment on this again. The Maryland Horse Council is on record on numerous occasions that it is not opposed to hunting. And that includes sport hunting of white-tailed deer among the number of methods it proposes to control the burgeoning deer population. Number one, I find the argument flawed that the deer population is burgeoning. We have consistently in the last 20 to 30 years that I've lived in Maryland have had a deer herd between 200 and 300,000 animals. And our harvest in the last 10 years has consistently been right around between 90 and 100,000 animals. So I don't know that taking a third of the population out of that is controlling the herd enough to please the horse people. They make this contention that the deer herd is burgeoning. The reason the deer herd is burgeoning is because of access, development, and denial of hunters' ability to access the deer because of conflicts with homeowners primarily. When we develop a farm where the deer have lived for decades, generations, and put houses on it, and put, let me just illustrate, Owings Mills. I used to hunt a property in Owings Mills. On that property now are 800 townhomes. You used to be able to hunt that property. Guess what? Now you can't. So we have deer-human conflicts. We have people who build houses, and they put shrubbery around their houses, and we have infrastructure of highways and roadways and driveways, and the deer have, you know, they travel the same routes that they have for generations. They're struck by automobiles. They eat shrubbery. You know, they they are creatures of the forest edge, to quote Maryland Public TV, who did a video of the same name 20-some years ago. So, we've created a perfect habitat for white-tailed deer and denied access to hunters. Does that seem like the deer herd is burgeoning? No. The human population is encroaching into where deer have lived, again, for generations. So, we're the ones who are encroaching. We're the ones who are increasing. We're the ones who are burgeoning the habitat. Deer just live there and do what they do. So, the argument, in my opinion, is flawed. But that's me. The Horse Council is not opposed to hunting. including sport hunting of white-tailed deer. But they also propose longer seasons and gained that in the two southernmost counties of Charles and St. Mary's in Maryland by extending the firearm season for deer through January, through February, and to March 29th. So they've gained that in two counties, extending the deer season, increasing the bag limit. Now, I don't know how you're going to do that. Here's the bag limit for the bulk of Maryland. In archery season, in central Maryland, the bag limit for white-tailed deer, antlerless, is unlimited with archery tackle. Elsewhere, in the rural counties, it's 10 per archery season of antlerless deer. One antlered. In muzzleloader season, in central, well, in all of Maryland, the bag limit for white-tailed deer is 10 antlerless deer and one antlered deer. And for firearm season, in all of Maryland, the bag limit is 10 and 1, which is 33 deer. I can't use 33 deer, and I'm an avid deer hunter. We have management programs in Anne Arundel County, by the way, who is begging for hunters to participate, residents of Anne Arundel County. We have the Howard County Management Program with about 100 guys in the pool that average about 4 days, that they can hunt in the program. We have the Montgomery County Deer Management Program. So where the deer density is high, we have managed hunting programs in those counties. One of the other things that the Maryland Horse Council wants to do is to increase farmers' crop damage permits or deer management permits and increase sharpshooting opportunities. So, they want all the deer killed. Why? That's what we have to examine. Why does the Maryland Horse Council want the deers reduced? Well, a couple of reasons. Let's look at fox hunting for one. You send a pack of hounds after a fox, and a hound gets on a deer trail, or several hounds get on a deer trail, and they start chasing deer rather than the fox. Well, that's no fair, because the deer are in the woods and they're after fox. They don't like conflicts with hunters who are hunting deer. So if we eliminate the deer herd, we eliminate the deer hunter from the woods so we can trail ride unencumbered wherever we want. Let's go on. Again, among a number of methods it proposes, the Horse Council proposes. What the hell scientific management knowledge does the Horse Council have to try and control the deer herd? You know, you're starting to annoy me now. The Horse Council, because we are the high and mighty Horse Council. We propose management methods for DNR, and they won't listen to us. Where is your field of biologist? Where is your deer management biologist in the Maryland Horse Council? Are they in the field doing the research? Are they sitting at the butcher shop pulling jawbones and aging deer and doing antler measurements and things like that, and checking the general health of the white-tailed deer like our dedicated biologists in Maryland do every single deer season? Are they in the field now risking, you know, Lyme disease and everything else out in the field studying white-tailed deer? Are they doing the deer density population studies? No, they're not doing a damn thing. But because they're the Maryland Horse Council, oh, we have some proposals, and DNR doesn't listen to us. So therefore, it is impossible for the council to comment further about the specific proposals, however, because the DNR has systematically denied our members access to information and an opportunity to be heard. Their only remedy for this failure, or perhaps intentional denial, is to have a hearing where regulations can be explained and comments taken. I got to tell you, if I'm the DNR, I'm the secretary of the DNR. I'm going to read this letter, and I'm going to do it like I do when I get certain letters at my house. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to review it. I'm going to set it down. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to very carefully read the comments and see how they are presented, and then I'm going to go, screw you! That's what I'm going to do. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I was doing better till I listened to that stuff from the Horse's Ass Council. You know, there is a precedent for this.
What is
that? The government of the United States paid men to go out west and slaughter all the bison.
Yes, exactly.
And it was nothing against the bison, although they didn't take it that way.
No,
if you eliminated the food source,
exactly,
then the American Indians
and the Plains
would disappear.
Indians.
They would starve to death.
That's right.
You're absolutely right. The Horse's Ass Council wants to destroy hunting by promoting hunting.
Correct.
Because once all the deer are gone, the hunters are gone.
That's correct.
Now, what they need is a bumper sticker.
Really?
Have you flayed a fox today?
Oh, let me tell you something.
This is the pro-cruelty of animals organization.
They simply chase the foxes.
Yeah, they chase the fox till it's ripped to shreds. Well, you want to have your arms torn off and your leg? Not me.
Well, wait a minute. This is part of the tradition. Don't you know that the master of the hunt, if the dogs should catch the fox, presents the brush, the mask, and the paws, in other words, the head, the tail, and the feet, to whomever he chooses to deign responsible for the demise of the fox, whether that is the owner of the hound or whoever that might be. If they do catch the fox and rip it to shreds,
there are laws against blood sport. Michael Vick knows all about it.
You know.
And what's the difference between...
If you read about historic fox hunting, there are people that they call terriers or groundsmen, I think, something like that. They go out on the farms and block all the entrances or fill in all the entrances to groundhog holes and fox dens. Did you know that?
More cruelty.
The fox can't escape.
Sure.
And if the fox does escape into one of those burrows... they will attempt to dig it out and kill it because the dogs don't have a chance at it.
I have no problem with people riding horses.
I don't either.
What they want to do. And they're not cruel to the horses.
Right.
I have a problem with them being cruel to other animals, and I have a problem with them exploiting the hunters who have paid to maintain the natural landscape, which they themselves don't pay anything for.
Correct.
They're a bunch of freeloading... they're monstrous the way they treat animals.
Thank you,
hunters,
Mark.
Hunters go out of their way for a clean kill.
Correct.
And if by chance they miss, they track the animal down and they put it down.
You know, I'm going to tell you something.
These people, to chase an animal, even if the dogs don't catch it, to have an animal flee for its life, where's the sport in that?
Well, the thing that gets me for the most, well, we do that with rabbits. I mean, let's face it. Mark?
No comment.
Okay. I mean, we do.
Okay.
Okay. But that is...
fair and balanced.
I try to be, but, you know... But look, the rabbit has an opportunity to escape. Unless it runs by the gun. And I would say that a good pack of hounds does its job and brings the rabbit around and back around and back around. But if the hunter misses, then the rabbit continues to have a chance to escape. And they do, oftentimes. But in the sport of fox hunting, the fox often, I will be fair and balanced, the fox often escapes. The sport is in the chase. Oh, there's nothing like the sound of hounds chasing a fox. But what about the landowners that haven't granted permission? What about the fences that are destroyed? What about the crops that are trampled?
And what about the hunters who paid to have the open space maintained?
What about the
acquired and maintained, who are denied the right to
What happens to the hunter who has written permission from the landowner to attempt to balance the deer herd on that landowner's land and enjoy the day with his children or his parrot or whatever it might be, and here comes 50 hounds and 30 horseback riders through the land where you have you know, you got a day off, so you have that opportunity to hunt there, and here comes somebody who doesn't have permission.
Right. They, I've said it before, they literally and figuratively look down on everybody.
Of course they do. Okay. Mark, thank you.
Have a good week.
You too, buddy. Thanks. Bye-bye. Vincent, good morning. How are you? Vincent, hello?
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm on my way to the Eastern Shore listening to you every Saturday when I head over.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, I'm listening to some of your analysis of the numbers and actually the logic of how to how there could be this nefarious process going on in the background by a council to eliminate hunting in Maryland. And, you know, I think there's something right in front of our face. I've talked about this before, which is just the lack of good hunter education, firearm safety at a young age, and then introducing this and sustaining it through, the proper channels.
Back up. Every young hunter has to go through a hunter education course.
Yes.
Required before they can get a hunting license. So what do you mean a lack of education? What are you talking about?
All right, let me repurpose this for you. An ongoing,
please do,
sustained effort to make sure that young people are engaged in firearm safety in a continuous way, and to introduce them and sustain them in hunting. And what I'm saying about that is, it's more than just classroom instruction or at the range instruction, or with a father, a mother, or someone, an uncle, aunt, or someone out on hunting season. What I'm trying to say is, it used to start in the schools, or it started in the community, and what I'm trying to say is that's probably one of the better channels to reinforce hunting and reintroduce a sustained effort of hunters. I mean, hunters are diminishing.
Well, to some degree, pretty much maintaining here in Maryland, not diminishing. We did have a downturn from over 100,000, I think 106 or 100, I can't remember the numbers anymore, quite frankly, but we did diminish to right around 85,000, something like that. And that was with the increased interest in deer hunting and the decreased interest and access to small game. No pheasants anymore.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can't rabbit hunt anymore. Squirrel hunting, quail are gone. That was used to be the big family activity, was to go and go quail hunting or pheasant hunting or rabbit hunting. Now it's become duck and goose hunting. It's not a poor man's sport. I mean, to lease a goose pit, you know, that's not something that the average guy can do. He can scrape together enough money to, you know, put four guys in a pit for one or two hunts a year. But, you know, the access is it. Now, we do have a number of public lands here in Maryland that you can access. However, the competition is so high for those limited amounts of goose blinds and dove fields and things like that. In some occasions, some people hunt them, you know, pick midweek days and have excellent times hunting. But you got to know what you're doing. You got to know, be able to have that access and opportunity. Opportunity is the second operative word there. But I agree with you. Hunting as a part of our culture has waned. When I was a kid, I could throw my gun in my car and go hunting after school. And did oftentimes.
All right, so I like the way you phrased that. So waning as a culture. And let me go
back. The culture has waned, not necessarily the participation. Now, you're talking about a suburbia here. You're talking about Eastern Shore. That culture is alive and well. Southern Maryland, that culture is alive and well. Western Maryland, that culture is alive and well. The rest
well,
of
us. Let me comment, because I'm part of Western Maryland. I'm in Frederick. I do building up in Deep Creek. I'm
right
over here. All right. Let me say this. You are correct. Up in Garrett County, I love the fact that the local newspaper Republican will publish the photos of the kids. You know, first kill or just what they took that seed. And, you know, you hear the outcry in Baltimore when a young lady who's 11 years old takes her first bear.
Well, now, she was eight, but, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But now that I'm in Frederick.
Yeah.
It used to be, so I'll go up to the watershed. It used to be I couldn't find a spot in the watershed up on Gambrel.
Right.
Now, in the last 2 and 3 years, I get my pick. I don't find anybody, any car, any truck within a mile of me or within, you know, any distance.
Right.
And I do go up there with the 22, and I'll look for just different ground game. And just like you said, it's almost like that as a kid going out and shooting squirrel. My neighbor and I will go out and shoot squirrel.
Right.
All right?
Right.
And there's just a lack of understanding, appreciation, or any of that because there, firearms in Maryland are treated as, we shall tell you what you're allowed to do.
No, I agree. I agree with that. And
all I'm trying to say, the kids are being bombarded with, don't go over to that house, that father's a hunter.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So
yeah, I'm with you. But that's our suburban culture. That's our suburban culture anywhere. You take a kid on the tour of a farm and have him watch a dairy farm in operation or a chicken farm in operation. The kids are fascinated. Ah, and Dad, the cow pooped right in front of us. Yeah. You know? The kids are so urbanized right now and suburbanized, they don't know what real life is all about. And we are in the, third generation of that suburbanization of our culture?
All right, so back to, let's take it full circle. So if there's this
quickly.
nefarious movement by the Horse Council,
yes,
and the numbers show it, I like what you're doing. Let's call it out. Let's bring it to the attention of the small communities, and you know, let's start a grassroots effort to expose them for what they are.
Vincent, it's started. It's called the Maryland Hunting Coalition. I've been talking about it for weeks. MDHuntingCoalition.org.
I'll be a part of it. I'll join it.
Okay. MDHuntingCoalition.org. We're calling them out. We've put their words on our website. We're just getting started. I mean, we've got to hire a lobbyist to fight for hunters in Annapolis. Those guys don't come cheap. Okay? We have a proposal from one. Here's what we need. We need $1 from every hunter in Maryland. $1 from every hunter. And you heard me give the number to hire a lobbyist. So we have to engage in fundraising. We don't have a bunch of wealthy hunters in our community that, you know, can write letters and take time off and go visit the General Assembly. We need money is what we need.
Gotcha. Well,
okay.
I'm in.
All right. MDHuntingCoalition.org. I'm getting signals for a break. Thanks, Vincent. Vincent makes a very convincing argument. Now it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's right. If you need a firearm or you need a bow or you need hunting accessories, I've got my shotgun there right now, my management deer management shotgun, my 870, special purpose deer gun, getting a new scope put on. Leopold. But if you need a Bushnell or a Nikon or a Leopold or a Zeiss, they've got all those scopes. They mount them, they bore sight them, it gets you ready to shoot them in at their range. They've got Browning and Remington firearms. They've got Parker bows and crossbows. And coming up next week, August 30th, I'll be there, Clyde Sports Shop, talking about the Maryland Hunting Coalition, Kotobo Day. Chuck Matasik from Kotobo is going to be there and demonstrating his great crossbows, too. So stop by Clyde Sports Shop next Saturday, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108, 242-6108 for fishermen, 247-3474-247-FISH.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410 7890199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
The statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns. By donating your female deer, you could feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W.
It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
This is Mark Levin inviting you to join me every weeknight from 7 to 9 with the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Girl, you thought you found the answer on that magic carpet ride last night. But when you wake up in the morning, the world still gets you uptight.
Well, enough of that. All those good songs that Paul Revere and the Raiders did, and you picked that one. What's wrong with you? All right. Is that our music to leave already? Wow, we had a couple callers. Mark made some good points, and Vince made some good points. Yeah. Well, DNR did answer the letter. The secretary did answer the horse council's letter and said, you know what, we did everything right. Have a nice day. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, you can email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Or you can check out the Maryland Hunting Coalition, mdhuntingcoalition.org. And we'd be more than glad to receive your free membership. Doesn't cost anything. We haven't gotten ready to pass the hat yet, but that's coming close. And I'll let you know when the PayPal account's ready to go. The address, by the way, is Post Office Box 451, Sykesville, Maryland, 21784. All right. See you next hour with the Fishing Challenge.
Hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2014 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Stimulating talk around the clock.